just not possible to gain that much in value that quickly with declining revenue.
And that's when I really had the epiphany that investing was not about stocks and bonds. Investing is about innovation.
The belief is if there's a new piece of information, that it will be instantly incorporated into the price of the stock or the bond or whatever. But that's not how people change their minds.
Welcome back. I'm Hayden Brain, and you're listening to Opto Sessions, where we interview the top investors and business leaders from around the world, uncovering their secrets to success. You're listening to the third episode of our compilation series. Last month, we covered the themes of electric and autonomous vehicles. Today's episode takes us back a step, comprising insights on different thematic investment strategies. Over the last few months, we've spoken to investing legends, portfolio managers, and thematic experts, and we asked them to narrow down their definition of thematic investing, their overall approach, and which themes they felt most strongly about going into 2023. We've split this episode into two parts. Today, you will be listening to the first part, including insights from brilliant investors from companies like BlackRock, GlobalX, and JP Morgan, to name a few. In August, we spoke with investing legend Kirill Sokolov, CEO and founder of 13D Research. Kirill was one of the first investors to focus on themes. We asked him why and what led him down that road.
I think that themes are very much compatible with my intellect. And I also think that themes are a great way to invest. Many times, a theme is investing in the solution to an economic problem. And it doesn't mean, you know, you can have recession. It doesn't matter. I mean, the economic problem isn't going to go away. So it's driven by the need to fix it. That's part of it.
Over the decades Kirill's been investing, he has never missed a single major technological transformation. We asked him how he managed to achieve such an astonishing track record.
Well, it's the way my brain works. I'll see something that is minuscule and other people don't think it's important. And to me, the light bulb goes off and the whole world opens up. So in 1988, I read a short paragraph which said it took 70 years to create a landline system in the UK, 50 years in the US, 30 years in Japan, 20 years in South Korea, but you could do a mobile phone system in 1.5 years. And all of a sudden, I understood what this meant. This is 1988. It meant that all of human knowledge would be available to all of humanity and that the mobile phone system would basically spread around the world and that the mobile device would be the vehicle for it. And we also understood the digital age was coming. You know, we were overly optimistic on how quickly some of it would happen. I mean, I could not understand why retail, bricks and mortar, lasted as long as it did. I mean, it just seemed to me that e-commerce was so obvious. This is 1997, 98, and that long distance learning would be so obvious. So some of these things took longer, some were faster. And then we decided to focus on innovation and new technologies. So right now, obviously, it's gene editing, it's AI, it's blockchain / Web 3.0, green energy revolution, 5G. You know, it's technologies like that.
In December, Pedro Palandrani, director of research at GlobalX, gave us his definition of thematic investing, which first requires a top-down macro analysis.
Effectively, the definition of thematic investing for us is about identifying those disruptive macro-level events that are changing our economy. And by that, we mean that we're essentially trying to identify what a type of disruptive technologies, what type of people and consumer behaviors, and what type of physical environment changes are really offering a structural trends and offering tailwinds that we could potentially capture through an investment vehicle such as an ETF, right? So just by trying to understand all of that, we look at things like artificial intelligence, like I mentioned before, or Internet of Things, or even electric vehicles. And what's important here is that we try to take a holistic approach in trying to understand what are the different ways that we could potentially target that investment opportunity. So for example, in electric vehicles, we're not only looking at electric vehicle manufacturers, for example, although we do have electric and autonomous vehicle ETF, we also look at other different avenues. And for example, our lithium and battery technology ETF is one example, right? Where essentially we're trying to capture the picks and shovels behind electric vehicles by looking at lithium miners and the supply chain of battery technology. One of the verticals that we believe could really benefit the most as we think about greater electric vehicle adoption. So I think that that's really that top-down approach that we try to take in really understanding what's going to happen in the future and how can we offer that to our clients in an intelligent and unique investment solution.
The next step at GlobalX involves a bottom-up approach to identify which companies are set to benefit from the materialization of a certain trend, which translates into the question, which companies generate at least 50% of their revenue directly from this theme?
Once we've identified that disruptive macro-level trend, then the natural next step is, what are the companies that stand to benefit from that materialization of the trend, right? And by that, we really try to look at the pure play companies that really provide that unique exposure, that targeted exposure to that theme, right? And by pure play, we essentially mean that we're really trying to identify companies that generate most of the revenue from the theme in regards. Mm-hmm. This is not something that it's easy to do. This is not something that really it's applicable to every single theme. But generally speaking, most of our thematic ETFs, I would say actually the majority of our thematic ETFs, do have that revenue threshold in that we require every single company within the fund to generate at least 50% of the revenue from the theme in regards. And I think that's what investors are looking for, right? They're trying to get direct exposure to the theme. We talked about cybersecurity before. If we look at our cybersecurity ETF, ticker BUG, we have within the index methodology language that dictates that companies within that fund need to generate at least 50% of the revenue from cybersecurity activities. So I think that's that bottom-up approach that's very important, really trying to identify who could potentially be the winners in that theme.
But how does GlobalX decide which themes get launched as an ETF?
The high conviction is the kind of the first step that we look at. So essentially, we look at what's the total addressable market, what's the current adoption or penetration level, and where it's going to be that adoption and penetration level in 5, in 10, in 15 years, right? That's really important for us to try to understand. What's the expected revenue growth rates for the companies within the theme? We were just talking about revenue growth, and I think that's one of the things that we look at. Usually, when we tend to see that faster than average revenue growth rates, it's really an indication of greater adoption of a given technology. And we look at a variety of metrics to really gain that high conviction in the theme. I think this is critical. We're not going to bring to market something that we do not fundamentally believe in.
In November, Michael Lucas, CEO of Truemark Investments, the owner of TrueShares, an active ETF provider, discussed why he believes that the most effective way to maximize investors' alpha is through active management of portfolios developed by investment experts, supported by the deep knowledge of industry or theme specialists.
We have lots of different funds. We've got our AI and deep learning fund, of course. We have a really good low volatility, dividend income fund. We've got, a renewable energy fund in registration. So we go for different asset classes, but we try to get PMs and we try and hire sub-advisors to manage those funds that are very industry specific and in many cases have practical experience in those industries. And we're not big on the idea that we have a team of general analysts or teams that are assigned to certain areas. We are big on using advisors that invest solely in energy-related projects to do our renewable energy infrastructure fund, right? We think that's smart. We are big on using engineers that have been in the industries to do our AI and deep learning fund, right? So we try to stay very specific to what we're doing. Each fund has its own mandate. We try to stay within that. We try to stay concentrated. And we try to, again, pursue high conviction, which I don't think anybody would mistake many of the thematic products out there as ones having high conviction, particularly when you go through the portfolios. Because you go through some of these portfolios, and you know, I think this has been on the SEC's radar for a few years now, but you go through some of these portfolios and you look at it and you say, how the heck did they get to name this product what they did when you look at the portfolio?
Yeah.
You know, so for us, it's really staying disciplined and strict with our mandate, staying within that lane, and being concentrated, because this goes back to the idea of concentration versus diversification. Mm. Diversification to the average investor has always been schooled as a positive. And in many cases, it is a positive. It depends on what your expectations are for your portfolio. But if you're trying to produce alpha, if you're trying to beat the market, which is what an active manager generally tries to do, then diversification can hurt you because you're bound to be wrong.
Michael went on to describe how Trumark Investments aims to distinguish stocks that actually have staying power and are capable of disrupting their industries versus stocks they label pretenders, which don't have these advantages and are less likely to succeed.
So we like to call it buzzwords versus business models, right? So that chasing buzzwords has become a thing. And whether it be, you know, I remember the onset of sort of 5G, you know, everybody's buying what they thought were 5G related companies when 5G wasn't even online. You know, I think somebody's got a space ETF out there. You know, there's lots of fun stuff to invest in, but for us, it's not just about that, right? It's about a sound business model. And you've seen it for decades, right? In the economy, the best horse doesn't always win, right? The best team doesn't always win in sports. Sometimes it's about the business model that is run by the best management team. So, yeah, I mean, I think there are definitely signals. Management teams are one of them. You know, having confidence in the management team and the way they're deploying assets, the way they're deploying CapEx, the way they're approaching, you know, their business is a huge, huge factor. I think, you know, once again, if you look at sort of that free cash flow and how much cash flow is that business generating? That shows you that they're protecting their margins. And it all comes back to the idea that you can have a heck of an idea or a heck of a technology, but it has to be wrapped up in a sound business model. Otherwise, it goes by the wayside.
In November, Caroline Weinberg, global head of product ETF and index investments at BlackRock, the world's largest ETF provider, highlighted that BlackRock's thematic products have become increasingly more important.
I think our thematics line is really important right now, as well as so you can invest in different themes, including water or including clean energy. These types of themes are really important, agriculture, food, and et cetera. So I think that adding this to the portfolio is really important and really interesting. I think you've had a podcast with Jay Jacobs on our team, who's terrific. So, you know, a lot of the work there is important and important for our portfolio. I would also say that more and more people are dissecting the All World Country Index. So instead of buying all the countries, there is a bit more focus on actually segmenting a bit more where clients want to invest from a country perspective or separately from a sector or industry perspective. So we're seeing a little bit more discerning within an index of which sectors or industries or countries one is looking to invest in. So that's another area to look at in this market, because while it's important to have the whole index, it's also important to emphasize through tilts or incremental investment, you know, different segments, if you will.
But what are the benefits of a thematic investment strategy? Pedro Palandrani mentioned the resilience of certain themes.
We believe that thematic investing can really mitigate a lot of the cyclical factors that we're seeing in our economy, right? So especially over the long term, for us, thematic investing is really about capturing the opportunities that we believe are going to disrupt many different sectors and industries over the long term. So again, we talked about cybersecurity in 2022 and how resilient that theme has been. Another example is electric vehicles, for example. If you think about it, electric vehicle sales this year are expected to be greater than 10 million units around the world. That's up from 6.6 million in 2021. So that's over a 50% growth rate just in 2022, where basically a lot of the things that could go wrong went wrong, and still electric vehicle adoption continued to grow. So I think that resilience, that capacity of many of these thematic or many of these themes to mitigate a lot of the cyclical factors in our economy is quite remarkable.
At GlobalX, Pedro added, the key to a successful thematic investment strategy is being ahead of the curve and building the right portfolio for the right theme.
At GlobalX, we've been doing thematic investing for more than 10 years now. Our first thematic ETF was launched back in 2010. That was the lithium and battery technology ETF. If you think about it, lithium and battery technology is really aiming to capture the opportunities around electric vehicle technology, right? So we did that even way before electric vehicles really started to go mainstream or became a reality. At the same time, you know, in 2011, we launched our social media ETF. That was even before Facebook, now Meta Platforms, IPO'd. So our idea and something that it's been really in our DNA is to offer unique and intelligent solutions to our clients. And that really means that we're always trying to be ahead of the curve. We're always trying to understand all of these changes that could potentially disrupt our economies. And how can we present that to our clients in a very, again, intelligent and unique way? I think it's really important to address that in a way that it's effective, because we could essentially, you know, build different portfolios, but I think just building the right portfolio for the right theme is kind of something that it's very unique.
Pedro shared what GlobalX has identified as a high conviction theme in 2023.
Very recently, we introduced an ETF for disruptive materials, not only here in the United States, but also in the European market under the UCITS structure. And disruptive materials or future metals, however you want to call them, are really kind of all of these materials that are going to be critical for future and clean technologies, right? Right now, of course, we're living in a world purely based on fossil fuels. However, we're starting to see rapid growth in adoption of renewable energy sources. Actually, around 90% of the capacity additions of electricity during the next 10 years are going to be solar and wind. So as an investor, we like to think, okay, how can we potentially benefit from that, right? And just accessing the disruptive materials, all of these materials that are very well positioned to benefit from that adoption, materials such as lithium, like I said before, or nickel, or manganese, even copper, rare earth, and a few others. These are the materials that could really benefit, because as you think about solar, wind, battery technology, even robotics, all of these materials are in a way integrated into the construction of any of these technologies. So I think that's one of the ideas where not only we have very high conviction, but at the same time, we're in the very early stages of adoption of many of these materials. Just for context, if you look at lithium, for example, in 2021, you had about 500,000 metric tons of lithium demand around the world. By 2030, that number is going to increase by 6x. We're expecting around 3 million metric tons of lithium demand by 2030. So how do you capture that? You know, just by looking at lithium miners is probably the best way to capture that opportunity. And that combined with other type of materials, it really offers a very compelling investment opportunity here, and one where, like I said before, we have a very high conviction in at the moment.
In January, Gabriela Santos, Managing Director and Global Market Strategist at JP Morgan, underlined to Opto why thinking about themes is so crucial.
Themes are really important ways to think about investing, because sometimes a theme encompasses, of course, multiple companies in multiple sectors, in multiple styles, right? Yeah. And so just thinking about, do I like tech or not, doesn't really fully capture some of the secular shifts.
Nice.
So a big secular shift is still this idea of hybrid work going forward, for example, not quite to the extreme that we had gotten during the pandemic, but I think we can all agree that there's some room for a bit more hybrid work. So for example, that encompasses opportunities in things like cloud adoption, right? Cloud type of companies. But it also encompasses a theme like cybersecurity, right? There's the need to protect all of our communication in this more digital kind of world. Yeah. So that's one interesting secular shift. Of course, we can think about different ones unrelated to that idea. Digital adoption also necessitates, just in our every single day-to-day life, a lot of demand for things like semiconductors and all of the inputs into semiconductors, which includes commodities as well, like lithium and nickel and rare earths. Away from the tech space, of course, a big secular theme is the aging of the global population. That encompasses a lot of opportunities in terms of healthcare and healthcare services. Another interesting theme related to the energy space is the need to balance self-sufficiency and security on traditional energy with the continued push into renewable energy and everything that's necessitated for that to come to fruition. And then the last big secular theme I'd mention is really the emergence of the middle class, especially in Asian markets. That's a theme that's not done in China. It's a big theme for India and for Southeast Asia as well.
However, Gabriella highlighted that JP Morgan aims to unearth real value by first considering valuations and financials and then thematics.
You do start with valuations first, right?
Yeah.
So, and specifically within the growth space, and some of them are still not profitable quite yet, we would be looking at valuation metrics like price to cash flow. That's still very, very important. So figure out if just the valuation has reset enough. And then when we think about the path to profitability, it's really important to think about, does this company have a really large and growing market? So yeah. Is it a part of some kind of secular shift that's happening? And here it's really important to separate what happened during the pandemic versus what's an actual structural change that's going to continue over the next few years. And that's where I think we're discovering maybe not everyone's going to sit at home and order everything online and stream endless amount of content and spend all their time on social media. So maybe that got a little bit exaggerated. So think carefully about what are actual secular shifts and which companies have that large growing market. The second thing to think about is there a competitive advantage of that specific company? Because when there is a large growing market, you get a lot of companies that try to address that space. So which one has true competitive advantage? And then of course, the third one is to think about whether there's a strong management team that can have strong execution on the plan. And that's especially the big focus now, is on whether companies are able to adapt to this environment and are able to cut costs or adapt business plans quickly enough to actually have a path to profitability or not. Or maybe it was just a flash in the pan.
Gabriella concluded by saying that researching themes in depth is key for investors to generate real alpha.
Well, I think it's finding the companies that are underappreciated by the market, right? So we all talk about secular themes. We all talk about general valuation and fundamental metrics, but it's really doing the nitty-gritty work at a company research analyst level to really unearth opportunities that other investors aren't fully understanding or appreciated. That's how you generate alpha, right? It's when you're discovering something new, and that's done at a very company-by-company level.
In June, Jay Jacobs, US head of thematics and active equity ETFs at BlackRock, explained the difference between BlackRock's actively managed and index-based ETFs and how each strategy can benefit investors.
No, this is a really unique part of BlackRock, is that we have both our index-based approach to thematic investing and we have active portfolio managers that are, you know, picking individual stocks within each of these themes. So, you know, there's different use cases for both. I think some investors maybe just want to capture the entire ecosystem of a theme. If you're interested in robotics broadly and want to get exposure to robotics and AI, and be able to plug that into a portfolio with that whole ecosystem approach, I think the index-based approach can be very helpful. But if an investor says, you know, I don't know which technology I want, I don't know if I want robotics or if I want something else, I just want a portfolio manager to make those decisions for me, picking the themes and picking the individual companies within those themes, then the active-based approach can work too. So there's benefits to both. And I'm very excited that we have an offering for both because, you know, no investor is going to be the same and people are going to value different approaches depending on how they manage their portfolios.
Jay also discussed how diversification can help investors improve their exposure to thematic ecosystems.
First of all, I would say, you know, don't just pick one theme. I would diversify, you know, for the typical investor, you know, diversify across three or four themes. And look for themes that are going to behave very differently from each other. You know, a genomics theme is not going to look a lot like a robotics theme. They have very different companies. One's more healthcare oriented. Another one's more industrials and tech oriented. You know, one's more US based. The other one's more global. So if you can combine a few themes that are really targeting different areas of the economy and diversify across a few different themes that way, I think that can be a very good positive approach to portfolio management. But the other thing to look at, if you're really not just looking at diversification, but also thinking about the growth opportunity, I would say is look at how big is the total market that this is addressing. You know, the bigger the market, the bigger the growth potential of the theme. And where are we in that process of adoption? Is this already a pretty mature theme? Are we already seeing, you know, this technology has been adopted broadly, or the theme has been adopted broadly, or is it still very early days? If it's early days and it's a big total addressable market, in some ways that means there can be more risk to the theme because there's a long way to go and anything could happen. But it also means there could be more growth potential because we still have a long runway before we see a theme fully play out. So I would absolutely, you know, have investors think about it from that framework. How big is it and where are we today when thinking about some of the growth opportunity with a thematic ETF?
Last week, Christian Magoon, founder and CEO of Amplify ETFs and Magoon Capsule, often referred to by media outlets as an ETF pioneer, shared some of the benefits of thematic ETFs.
Yeah, I've had the privilege to work with a variety of different partners and experts that have allowed me to be part of launching many first to market ETFs. And by that, just really, we mean, you know, the first ETF to offer access to, you know, a unique investment segment. So the first solar ETF, TAN is the ticker there. The first cybersecurity ETF, HACK is the ticker there. The first blockchain focused ETF, Block, is the ticker there. Those are probably, you know, three fairly prominent examples of what I'd say leading edge package product efforts to provide access to ETF investors to these unique themes. And, you know, we continue to do so here at Amplify, where we're, you know, continuing to push the envelope and launch innovative strategies and segments that really haven't been available to ETF investors before. We're really focused on that because we think the ETF itself offers a lot of efficiency, transparency, flexibility for investors. And, you know, that's more important than ever with markets being, you know, fairly difficult, at least in the last year and a half.
Christian added that one of the biggest trends of the future for online retail will likely be the metaverse and explained how some of these themes are interconnected through underlying ties.
Probably one of the bigger trends I think coming, you know, in the next couple of years will be this kind of metaverse. And, you know, when you're in the metaverse, it's a lot easier to, you know, kind of transact online, almost maybe impossible to do it in store. So that trend of people living more and more in the metaverse, doing more interactions and shopping, I think will be beneficial. And again, you know, as the kind of emerging markets continue to see an increased standard of living and they have more smartphones, we think that is going to be a big driver as well. Of kind of online retail. And it's really interesting to see how a lot of these, you know, are interconnected, right? So, you know, the metaverse is going to be very beneficial for online retail. It's also going to be built in a lot of ways on the blockchain too. So a lot of these themes kind of have some underlying ties. And, you know, we want to be there because we think this is kind of really disrupt the way we work, the way we spend our money, the way we, you know, spend our free time in the next 5 to 10 years. And that's why we offer these types of products to not have to be right about, you know, the individual stock. Let's say it's kind of hard to pick the right stock, but it might be, we think, a little easier to find the right theme, let's just say, to, you know, complement an existing core portfolio exposure of, you know, kind of the traditional S&P 500 companies.
You've just listened to the first part of our latest compilation episode. Stay tuned for the second part, which will be released on April 4th and will feature comments from thematic experts, including Ali Ehrman, ARK Invest's genomic revolution analyst, and Jeff Desjardins, editor-in-chief of Visual Capitalist and author of the book Signals, the 27 Trends Defining the Future of the Global Economy. Thanks for listening, everyone. Just a quick note before we sign off. If you're looking for an easily digestible daily update on the markets, this might be of interest. Opto Updates is our short newsletter sent every day during the trading week, giving you a bulleted list of the top 7 stories from the global stock markets. We've done the hard work for you, highlighting relevant opportunities and trends. And in addition, we'll also keep you notified of any new products, stock reports, or webinars from the Opto world. If you're interested, sign up using the link in the show notes. And thanks also to CoFruition for consulting on and producing the show. Until next time. CoFruition.